now listening to The Social Scene with your host, Jay-Z.
Today, the show is brought to you by Be Who You Are magazine. Welcome back to The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Today, I'm really excited to have such an inspiring guest on the line, Catherine Janicek, who is a media trainer, national TV producer, and public speaking coach. Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Good. I know you're in sunny Florida right now. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain. It's kind of nice to have, you know, your parents living somewhere like Fort Myers. It's lovely.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, during this time of year, like, on the East Coast, I mean, you're from Chicago, so, like, you know how cold it gets. Well, this year's a little different, but normally it's cold at this time.
Yeah, I like escaping a couple weeks every year here and just hanging out with the parents, and the bonus is we get to walk the beach together.
Yeah,
so
that's nice.
Very lucky.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So you're originally from Chicago, right?
I am. My father moved all over the country when I was a kid. So I was one of those kids who went to 5 different elementary schools, 3 high schools. So I don't really have a place that I can say I grew up. But home base was always the Chicago suburbs because that's where my parents were born. And I feel lucky that they moved us around a lot because it kind of created the way I am, where I can just get into a room and meet people and hear their stories. And I like to learn about people. And I've always thanked them for doing what they did. And I've told other parents to not worry about moving your kids around a lot, because usually it kind of helps it helps them develop into somebody else. And then for my job, I moved all over the country in different television markets. So I thank my parents for all the moving around, where a lot of parents are afraid to move their kids around.
Mm-hmm.
I think I credit some of my success to the fact that we moved around a lot, because I just, you know, I like getting to know new people because I've had to my whole life.
Yeah, I actually think that that's a great thing, like you're even saying, because that's such a hard quality to come by, especially if you've only stayed in the same circle your whole life. You know what I mean? So.
Right, and I've never had a clique or the same circle. And I love that. I love that I have friends all over the country and the world, and that's all.
Yeah, that's a really inspiring story, you know, because a lot of people probably don't realize how good of a trait that can actually give you from having that lifestyle.
Yeah, we got to know the whole country. We moved from coast to coast, and it was a different way to learn also. Yeah, we were in school, but you saw national parks, and you saw, you know, and so when I write a story, with the Cuba story that started popping 2 years ago about, you know, that we might be able to go as Americans, I was able to, because I've been to Cuba with my parents, I was able to think about, oh my gosh, okay, here is how we want to paint the story. We want to talk about all the things that you can see now, these Americans who have never been able to go there. And I've been there, so it brought me this understanding of a story that maybe some other writer wouldn't have.
Right.
I know how incredible it's going to be for people to see it for the first time if you get there before it's way overdeveloped. So I thank my parents for all the traveling we did and the moving we did, because it makes me a better writer. I can really describe it because chances are I've been there or I've met those kind of people.
Right.
Or I know people of that religion and I've seen what they've gone through. So I think it makes for better writers, better journalists, and you have an understanding of where the person might be coming from.
Yeah, that's so true. So let's talk about how you got into the TV world to begin with. How did that all come into place for you?
I was always a writer. When I was in seventh grade, my high school, or my junior high at the time, had a newspaper. So I signed up for the newspaper, and I wrote stories for the paper. Then I became an editor of a page in high school. And so I was always really into newspapers. And this was the late 80s and the 90s, when I was in high school in the 90s. And papers were really strong still. But when I was applying to colleges, it was starting to get, this was 1994. And even back then, it was kind of like, oh, you know, will the papers be around much longer? I mean, 94, we were all on AOL and getting, you know, it was already this big internet boom. And I started looking at colleges that had TV programs for broadcast journalists. And I ended up going to a school that I could start right away my freshman year, where other colleges couldn't get into the journalism program till junior year. So as much as I would have loved to have gone to Mizzou or Northwestern, I couldn't touch the equipment. I couldn't intern, you know, until my junior year. So I chose a school. I went to Marquette in Milwaukee, where I could get an internship my freshman year, or I could start playing around with the equipment at the television station on campus, or writing for the newspaper. So I wanted to do that, because what if you get to junior year and you're like, I don't know if I really like this.
Right.
So I got into television really because I felt like that was where things were going, and it was exciting, and I didn't really have a lot of experience with it, except for my parents. We weren't a big TV watching family, except for the news. You know, my mom would watch Wheel of Fortune and then Peter Jennings, and we were very limited as far as, you know, my parents allowed us to watch the news, but we couldn't watch other, you know, junk television. And they were big news watchers, and we were a two newspaper family. And so I think I was just born into being curious and liking to know exactly what was going on in the world. And my parents would talk about, you know, current events at the kitchen table with us. And so that's how it started. It wasn't anything else except for that. I just kind of, there wasn't a question. I mean, it was sixth grade, seventh grade. I remember typing up on my grandmother's typewriter a family newsletter over Christmas because I wanted to tell the news.
That's so cute.
I was a total nerd, and I'm proud of it, and I still am.
Hey, it paid off, right? It paid off.
Right, and I'm glad, you know, I'm glad my parents fed that, because they fed whatever the three we were into at the time, and they let us develop that that passion. And so I'm glad they said, here's a typewriter, you know, write a newsletter, or, you know, run your little newspaper.
That's
for the
so awesome.
And
that's
right.
Cool.
And in high school, you know, I went to school in the Chicago suburbs, and there were a lot of things that we could do. There were a lot of opportunities. And I got an internship, believe it or not, for the Daily Herald, which was is a big suburban paper. And I interned while I was in high school for the Daily Herald. And my parents drove me to the Daily Herald at night, and I would work, you know, there and or intern there. So, I mean, we just had a lot of opportunities if you wanted to do something. So,
right, but you still went after it. It didn't just fall into your lap, you know? So that's awesome.
Oh, I went after everything. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a part of everything, yeah.
Well, it definitely paid off.
It wasn't the best in college because I wanted to be a part of everything. Like, you know, the college television station, and I went an internship, and then of course you need a part-time job because you have to pay for your, you know, your stuff that you're going to do. So my grades weren't straight A's in college, but I wanted to be a part of everything, so something had to suffer. It's not like I didn't graduate, but, you know, I'm not the perfect student, but I wanted to be a part of everything, so
right.
I did go for it all.
Makes sense. That's amazing. So what was the first TV thing you worked on?
Well, my college television station, but then that turned into, I took an internship at WISN, which was the ABC affiliate, is the ABC affiliate in Milwaukee. And then I got a paid job my junior year. I was an overnight PA. So I would go to work at, well, like 1 in the morning, and I would edit all the video for the morning show. And then I would go to my, like, theology class at 8 a.m.
Oh, my God. How did you do
exactly.
that?
But that's what you have to do. And right. I have interns, and I have, you know, I mentor college students, and I always tell them, like, you cannot wait till after college, because you have to turn these internships into a job so you can have a full-time job when you graduate. And this was a part-time job junior year, but it was a paid, you know, I got a paycheck. I was an employee. I was a part-time employee at the Fox affiliate. The Fox O&O, actually, in Milwaukee. And I made it work. I was tired, and I would go to class at 8 a.m. after doing that all night. And then I was also, I did radio cut-ins for a radio station. There was during the Rush Limbaugh show. I was the local radio news. You know, I do my little news minute. And it was funny because I would then go to class 2 hours later, and the teachers would say, I just heard you on the radio when I was driving in. So I was constantly trying to keep my foot in the door while I was in school, because I wanted to make sure that I got a job right out of college. You know, I hear a lot of people saying they graduate and they can't find a job, and most often it's because they didn't get the experience to get them a job.
Right.
And it sucks.
Well,
you know,
in the field that they want, you know, they could get a standard job, you know, that would pay, but I think for a job that they want to, like, grow in a career is more difficult if you're not going to work towards that.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to try to find something and try to hold on to it and make it into a job. So you don't tell this recruiter or a news director, if you're in television, what have you been doing? Well, I've been working at Walgreens, which is, it's a fine job. It's a great company, but you have to, it's better if you're doing something in the industry that you want to work in.
Right. Exactly. Very, very true. So, okay, obviously, so you worked throughout college, and then when did you launch your own business?
Well, I was in television for little less than 20 years. So I went all over the country working for television stations, and for a year or so, I was a spokesperson for a sheriff's office in Minneapolis. During the 35W bridge collapse, and then I came down here to Chicago about 8 years ago, and I worked at WGN and BDM and NBC as an executive producer, and then about a year ago, I was laid off from my last, I had a VP of news at a television network, and I was laid off, and so I'd always wanted to start my own business, and I knew that I couldn't, it was one of those moments where I couldn't make as much money or more money than I was currently making if I would have stayed in Chicago, because there's limited amount of jobs when you get to a certain level,
right.
And I would have had to go to LA or New York, and I wasn't ready for that. My parents were still in Illinois at the time, part-time, and I wanted to stay close to my family. I was finally, you know, in the vicinity of my sisters for the first time. I wanted to keep cultivating that relationship. You know, at some point, you just want to be close to family.
Right.
So I just went for it. I wanted to start my own business. It was the right time. I had the support of my parents. So I started Catherine Janosik Productions. And it was funny because it's not like, you know, you watch Shark Tank and you figure out what is the need, and then you start this company, or you have this idea, and then you hope you find the demand for it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what I wanted to create. All I know is, as soon as I was laid off, people were asking me for help. So I just followed the jobs, and people are asking me, like, can you please handle all my social media? Can you please help me boost my brand? Can you please help me get more, I want to get on television or get a newspaper article or get a magazine article. Or can you help coach me because I've got an opportunity to be on TV, but I don't know what to wear. I don't know how to act. I don't know what my delivery should be. I don't know what my story is. So I just started following where the needs were, and I kind of found my niche, which ended up to be coaching a lot of executives on how to deliver their story, deliver their content, find out what their story is and how to deliver the most memorable story. Sometimes it has to do with fixing a brand. People will call me and say, there's something negative coming out. Can you please help me fix it? A little bit like if you ever watched Scandal, it's a little bit of Olivia Poping sometimes. your audience might know, you know, it's people with their reputation or a bad story coming out. So I just show them how to get good stories out there to counterbalance that. I help executives deliver a better speech, whether they're speaking in front of their group of their team of 10 people, or if they're going to do a major national presentation of hundreds or 1,000 or thousands. TEDx talks kind of like that. I help prep people to speak at major events. Everybody is so good, they're a rock star at what they do, but sometimes they don't know how to deliver their message to a bigger audience.
Right.
Or how to carry themselves, or what to wear. So my years of coaching talent and hiring talent and just making beautiful television has helped me make executives look better and really show off their best version of themselves. I try to produce the best person.
Another thing that I just wanted to interrupt for a second, but I really like that you also help train people that don't speak English as a first language. I thought that was so inspiring.
Yes. Well, and that came to me too. It was great. You know, a lot of business people just reach out to me on LinkedIn, and some people are, like I said, they're really good at their jobs, but they know that there are certain things that are just holding them back a little bit. Maybe someone is, you know, several clients are from another country, and again, they're super brilliant, but they just have problems with a couple words. you know, there's just some things or maybe some phrases that they were just never taught. They don't know what they mean, and they don't want to ask anyone because they're embarrassed. So I coach them on a weekly basis, and we work on whether if it's V's or W's or their French and their other mannerisms or other things that they say that we work them out. It's all about producing the best version of themselves,
right?
Whether they're at work or at a restaurant or in an interview or presenting to their team. But I feel really lucky that I found those kind of clients too, because there's a need there, because we definitely have an international business market.
Definitely.
And they are looking for just help from, you know, an American girl who speaks pretty good English, and I can definitely help them.
That's
and I
awesome.
Love that. I feel so good when they say, like, I sound so much better and I feel more confident now that I've worked with you.
Yeah, that's such a rewarding thing.
And if I can give people that confidence, oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great. So can you tell us some projects you're currently working on?
I'm sorry, a product I'm currently working on?
Projects, like any like the TV jobs you're currently working with through your company.
Yeah, I just got done shooting. I wrapped a shoot last week for PBS. I shot two shows for them. I'm still doing television producing, which I love. I've been doing it for so long, it's like, why stop doing that? Two national shows that will air on PBS this spring. I shot a couple shows for them also in Hawaii at the beginning of the month. That's been fun. I've been able to travel a little bit.
Seriously, that's awesome.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I was in Madrid for a client coaching them for a major presentation, an annual report, but they did an annual, you know, meeting, and they wanted their clients to be able to present better and present the company and the product better. So I coached all of their executive team one-on-one.
Oh, my
God. And that was fabulous.
That's cool.
It was great. It was awesome to get the emails even a week later, hearing I feel so much more confident. I never knew I was doing this with my body, with my voice, with my hands, with my shoulders. I didn't know. You helped me with my breathing, so I look less nervous. I love hearing that feedback, and those are the kind of things that I've been hearing for the last year, and that means way more than a paycheck to me. Just having someone be able to say, I feel more confident in my job every day, or I feel just, you really helped me.
I really like, too, how, like, you brought up the little things, like breathing, like, shows that I'm not as stressed. Like, you would never think about that, you know?
Well, we don't record ourselves.
Right.
Or we don't talk to ourselves in front of the mirror and see that. And it's nice to have an outside opinion who's fresh, who doesn't know you, just watch you speak and say, okay, well, here's what the perception is when you do that. You say this with your body. And then they know this, like, oh, I had no idea. We forget that so much of our message, so much of the perception is the things that we do and not what we say.
Right.
So I want them to, if we can control that part, people are more likely to hear the message that we're actually trying to get out there.
So
deliver.
True.
So I try to help companies, executives, deliver their message better.
Yeah, well, clearly you're doing it because you're getting great feedback on it, too, which is awesome.
I love what I do. So
yeah.
It gives me such a thrill. So I think no matter what you do for a living, if you enjoy it, you're going to be a success.
Yeah, but I really like your story, you know, because, like, oh, yeah, I got laid off, but, like, you fell into this position that just kind of fell into your lap. I really think things happen for a reason. You know, I hate to sound cliche, but, I mean, it's obviously what you're meant to do, and you're great at it.
Now I can work from anywhere, wherever I get a gig, wherever somebody needs me, and it's really cool.
Yeah,
and
you don't have to, like, report to anyone. It's you're in charge.
Yeah, yeah. I don't, yeah. You know, I'm not stuck at some days, I mean, I was working 12, 14 hours a day, just sitting and hunched over at a computer every day, and it's not good for our bodies, and I just feel really lucky, and I loved my years working overnight for morning shows, but, you know, is that really the best thing for our bodies? No. So I like having a normal schedule and being able to just jump when somebody needs me. It's been great. It's been a great year, and I'm looking forward to the 2016.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And then, obviously, of course, I do want to bring up, you know, before we can tell people how they can contact you for public speaking, etc., that you did win 3 Emmys, which is amazing.
Yeah, I and they're, you know, all but the first one, it's nothing to brag about. It was a terrible story of a police officer being shot in Minneapolis. And we have fast reaction, getting Chopper up there and staying on air. But it's terrible that people do bring that up. Like, isn't it so exciting? But usually news and Emmys, most of the time have something to do with some tragic story. So, I don't like the way I won the first one just because it was terrible.
Yeah,
it was a terrible circumstance. Another one was NATO coverage, and then another one was a really wonderful story about helping family. So, yeah, I mean, it's always a fun night. You always wonder, you know, the voting is, you never know how it's going to go,
right?
Because it's people from all over the country. You know, you never know who's going to vote on your market. So it's interesting. I've had other stories, and I'm like, oh, this is definitely going to win. And then it doesn't. So you never know. But it's such an honor.
Yeah, well, that is something to be very proud of, regardless of the circumstances, you know? So congratulations on those.
Thank you.
Of course. So definitely tell us how people can contact you regarding public speaking consultations and, you know, mentoring. I think that it's great that you offer all of that.
First and foremost, I love speaking at colleges, and I go to all the ones in Chicago, and I just do, obviously, that's for free. So if there's any mentoring that needs to be done, I definitely like to help college students, which is kind of giving them a guide of what they need to do in order to get a job. So I can be reached on Twitter. It's always my name. It's just Catherine Janicek on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. My email is just Catherine@CatherineJanicek.com. So I'm everywhere with my name. Pretty easy.
Amazing. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. It was truly inspiring to have you on, Catherine.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Of course. All right, everybody, be sure to contact Catherine. She's truly an inspiration and has a lot of information to share with you, obviously, more than just our radio show. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises, and stay tuned till next time. Today, the show is brought to you by 3morrow.com.
You're listening to Jay-Z on The Social Scene. The Social Scene.